Hello, and welcome to Literally from the North Shore. We're glad you tuned in. Today we begin a new book, The Bowser Chronicles, read for us by stalwart KTWH volunteer Tom Kohler. This will be the book for the next 5 days, and Tom does a great job of introducing it, so let's turn it over to him right now.
The Bowser Chronicles is written by Glenn Sandvik and illustrated by Betsy Bowen. The book was copyrighted in 1992, and the illustrations were done in 2020. The first edition was published in May of 2020 by Betsy Bowen Studio of Grand Marais, Minnesota. The web address is woodcut.com. Glenn Sandvik grew up in Two Harbors, Minnesota. His grandfather fed the coal engine of the tugboat Edna G. in the 1930s and 40s. Inspired by his passion for Lake Superior, Glenn spent his life teaching and writing about local history. Bowser's adventures compile a lifetime of telling our North Shore history through creative storytelling. Please note that the sensibilities and language portrayed in these tales are reflective of the conversations and ideas of the storytellers at the time of this writing, in a unique and colorful part of North America in the middle of the 20th century. There was a real Bowser who was a well-loved Sandvik family pet. Now, listeners, please note that this is an epic poem or a heroic poem, much in the style of the Song of Hiawatha, and as such, the poem features a heroic character. In this case, that character is a cat named Bowser who was the watch cat for the tugboat Edna G. The Bowser in this story is more than real. He is reputed to have been sired by a pair of anonymous parents. The mother was a cat and the father was a dog. Bowser the watch cat lived forever. And for the duration of this story, that would be from about 1896 until about 1980, when the tugboat was retired. The rhythm in this poem will have a somewhat sing-song beat to it, and that is one of the characteristics of an epic poem. The illustrator and publisher of this poem, Betsy Bowen, has given KTWH her permission to record and broadcast this poem. It is also important to know that Sharon Sandvik, the wife of the author, Glenn Sandvik, has also given her permission for KTWH to record and broadcast this poem for your enjoyment. Now, Bowser was the watch cat on that tugboat, Edna G., and Bowser's name was heralded all round the inland sea. Speak Bowser's name in any town that rimmed Superior, you'd turn a head or spark a sigh or draw a smile for sure. They knew of Bowser and his feats from Duluth to the Sioux, in Marquette and at Nipigon, in both Grand Marais, too. Where miners work the copper thumb Ontonagon, east and north, from Houghton up to Gay's Stamp Mill, Eagle Harbor, so forth. They told cat tales in grain silos, Port Arthur and Fort Will, on timber docks from Sugarloaf to every Ashland mill. Where herring choked and Cisco's smoked, they shared that cat's report, from Bayfield crossed to Cornucope and up north to Rossport. On rivers, Pick and Temperance, Taquamenon and Knife, the Bowser's sagas magnified that watch cat's Spartan life. Superior's rocky islands, apostles to the slates, Michipicoten to the Isle Royal, grand guarding Munsing's gates. Though oft ice-bound were fertile ground for news about that cat, as was each lonely station where lightkeepers hung their hat. Split Rock to Rock of Ages, and hove to at Passage Isle, from Stannard's Rock to Whitefish Point, you'd get a kittish smile. Yes, any place where man and beast or man alone took Superior's residence, that Bowser cat was known. Now all this talk of ports that are and spots which used to be just tells Bowser chose Agate Bay and that Tug Edna G. One cause alone ferric ore spawned two harbors as a town. Men built the docks and laid the rails to bring the iron down. Vermilion shafts, Mesabi pits, coughed up their metal stores, hard hematites and rust-red sands, all the world's richest ores. In open cars strung end to end, near half a mile in length, led from the mines to the Great Lake by coal steam's awesome strength. Through ancient forests, older hills, across unending swamps, straining to climb the upside grades, screaming on downhill romps. Fill water tanks at Cactina, get weighed at Highland Scales. The iron trains, if they could talk, would tell their own woods tales. They'd stop at last atop the docks where angry breakers roar after blowing 400 miles across Superior. Two massive chutes clasped to the piers, the trains dumped ferrous gold. Those pockets would deposit ores in a moored Laker's hold. Two Harbors' role, you must be told, in a nation's steel trade, is a passage port, not a point where U.S. steel is made. All kinds of vessels called to load, though few ships called it home. They'd fill their bellies with iron, and down the lakes they'd roam. Three-masted schooners, wooden scows, MacDougall's famed pig boats, steel steamers ever grown in size, most wearing steel trussed coats. From the docks east and south they'd sail o'er that expanse of blue and exit Lake Superior through locks known as the Sioux. Down Huron or Lake Michigan the giant Lakers churned. They'd unload Minnesota's iron, then once again returned. Yes, two harbors fed furnaces and fueled the open hearth, which from Gary east to Johnstown made the best steel on earth. 'Twas two and four, two harbors, that the Edna G was born, to fit the specs of Agate Bay that tugboat took her form. In a Cuyahoga boatyard close by Lake Erie's coast, men laid her keel and shaped her hull so she could give her most. They forged huge plates of charcoal steel molded to hug her frame and shield the coal-fired steam outfit that brought that tugboat fame. With coal fire in her furnace box, steam vapors filled her hull. 1,000 horses was the force with which that tug could pull. Ordained to be a workboat, yet her fittings were refined. Brass fixtures and oak panels in her pilot house were lined. The captain's quarters neath her bow were likewise with oak walled. Leather benches, a roll-top desk also there were installed. Topside above the wheelman's post, a bronze eagle would scream, a fitting symbol with wings spread where that tug would steam. Joe Cox, her master 20 years, sailed from a Cleveland pier to bring that tug to two harbors to work Superior. A little boat on a big lake traced west the Lakers' routes. Like a magnet to the iron docks, she headed thereabouts. In Duluth's town, they named her for a railroad chieftain's lass. Jake Gretzinger's girl Edna cheered to watch her namesake pass. Cap Cox and men at last dropped hooks side of freshwater Cay. The Edna G and crew were home. We're home to Agate Bay. And home with them, old-timers say, if you can believe that, was a four-pawed fur stowaway, a dog-eared Erie cat. Yes, Bowser was the watch cat on that tugboat Edna G, but how or when his job began begins the mystery. For Bowser, you must understand, was not one prone to chat, especially about such things as were close to that tawny cat. but barroom bards and longshoremen and sailors passing coal all seemed to share some common lore about that watchcat's soul. His mother was a bar cat from Connaught or Ashtabule, and while she was a floozy, yet she was nobody's fool. She weaned her young on tavern milk and fed them fish and eggs. She nurtured each, then made them all stand on their own four legs. That waterfront she-cat gave life to babes of many tales, yet Bowser was the only kit who favored canine scales. Now you can scoff at this report, deny it if you know, that Bowser's father was not a bulldog from Toledo. Deny it, yes, disprove it, no, lest you were witness for a blessed event so long ago under a barroom floor. Now Bowser, as was said before, was not one to talk much. In fact, he ne'er uttered a meow, and not a bark as such. So while the cat ne'er did admit, he neither would disclaim those tavern tales which gave to him a Toledo pug's name. As circumstantial evidence, which withstood all rebuke, his closest friend in Agate Bay was a royal mutt named Duke. Besides, Bowser, as you've been told, could not hide his dog ears and flashed caninish bicuspids through shy smiles or sly sneers. So now it's been established that the cat made that tug home, and long nor far from Two Harbors neither of them did roam. The Edna G settled into safe sailor escort chores, while all her crew, true sailors, too, still slept safely ashore. Bowser took up his watchcat's life, the mariner's code obeyed, where'er, whate'er that tugboat did, that Bowser cat surveyed. He'd watch up in the pilot house, then with the eagle rest. He'd watch down in the fireman's hole, and with the crew take mess. That cat observed the captain work within his oaken den, or as the skipper paced the deck when nor'east winds set in, he'd watch the Lakers as they'd come, and as the oar boats went, each one towed safely to the docks, then back down the lakes sent. Bowser watched all, took it all in, he took it into his soul, but while watch-catting was his call, 'twas not his only role. For off the job, around the job, a social life of sorts evolved for cats, as for people, in small town Great Lakes ports. That cat was no exception as his off-tug network grew, a few close friends, acquaintances, and countless folks he knew. Wove for Bowser a social net as strong as herring gills, earned him repute from round Duluth to sandy Whitefish Hills. Though even though he'd never speak, nor seldom really smile, for any creature needing help, he'd go the extra mile. That Bowser cat was not partial to four-leg stocks or twos, so that humans and higher breeds alike proclaimed cat news. Bowser's nearest and dearest friend, as you've before been told, was a mixed hound of autumn nights who'd not fit any mold. The Duke, townspeople knew him as, was large in frame and weight, yet moved through town and throughout life with a light-footed gait. He also wore a mangy fur as black as tugboat coal, his eyes shone bright as lighthouse lights reflecting a huge soul. Which may have been what drew Bowser to the Duke as a chum. The harbor dog was never quick, at times seemed downright dumb. He yelped and barked and carried on his manners, lacked all couth, but to those who befriended him he gave loyalty and truth. So Bowser and the Duke made rounds around the iron port, with gulls and fishermen whose shacks lined Agate Bay they'd sport. Or ride the rails with Will Roloff to North Shore lumber camps to help him photograph the Jacks and other forest tramps. But when the tugboat's fireman's sons took the Duke back to go home, Bowser would go about his rounds, content to go alone. Sometimes he'd pause at the roundhouse to pick up railroad news, for hogheads and rail coal passers would gladly vent their views. Sometimes that cat would stop to sip milks by his mother sent. The Beacon and the Harbor were taverns that he'd frequent. From these he'd often call upon. You might think he was nuts. Each police chief, Carl Paulson to Ogie and Roy and Guts, it followed that as time progressed, that cat knew all the town, was known as well by all in town, thus started his renown. Now Bowser, that watch cat of note, from that tug Edna G, had another Agate Bay friend, the laundryman Lee Key. Lee was a lot like Bowser, call them both inscrutable. Man of few words, known throughout town, yet by no one known well. Starched collars, linens, suits, and pants were Lee Key's stock in trade, but he trafficked in live goods, too, and there Bowser gave aid. Lee was one cog in bigger plans to open Freedom's Gate. Two fellows of his native land laws would not tolerate, but humanity defied laws, not of God, but from men. So Bowser helped the laundrymen smuggle Chinamen in. That cat would watch from that tugboat a certain steel trussed stack, as Alva Climber's dinky's cook with cargo in his sack would signal Bowser with their sign, and that cat fetched Lee Key, who'd work the fellow in his shop until he'd made his fee. The fee was rail fare to where the immigrant was bound, yet oft does not Lee himself pay to send the traveler round. Bowser watched all, kept track of each, and knew where each one went. Nine became restaurant owners, one a college president. But local folk seemed not to note this changing laundry gang, for Lee called one his nephew Ying, the next his nephew Yang. That cat could never understand, since he only knew each by name. "Is it not simple?" Lee Key smiled. "Don't we all look the same?" Now Bowser, tugboat watch cat, while he got around town, and while the things he watched and did there buttressed his renown, still that cat always remembered, with 4 feet on dry land, no sense was more assuring than waves beneath where he'd stand. But the comforts, notwithstanding, of swells under his paws, Bowser also could not forget the havoc waves could cause. So many times that watch cat watched nature unfurl her might against creatures from all of God's realms, it almost gave him fright. He'd watch from in the pilot house and never venture out when northeast gales whipped sea and sky into a thundering shout. Wind swept across Superior beyond Point Keweenaw to batter into the North Shore in shows of might and awe. Between the grays of heaven and the water's darkest heart, the whitecaps scudding violently tore their own paths apart. When fathoms from the lake's edge you'd feel stung by spume and sand, then men in ships, like seagulls, sought to lay low near to land. Getting ships out of harm's way was the Edna G's main task, so when storm warnings were raised up, the cap ne'er had to ask. The tugboat's crew would get up steam, head into the wind's teeth, for at her dock no aid she gave when storms made the lake seethe. Forever, when a storm arose and that tugboat set sail, that Bowser watch cat stood his post atop the Chadburn rail. For what else could a watch cat do, and where else could he be than searching for those needing help all round the inland sea? Now Bowser, if he'd kept a book of the Edna G's deeds, could have written thrilling stories for anyone who reads. That cat, though he'd not tell of it, oft had a role to play in rescues and in retrievals from that tugboat's first day. The very day that tug was named by Edna Greatzinger, she's sailed for two harbors as a zephyr kicked a zinger. The force of wind come off the land caught all afloat off guard. Fisherman Ole Simonson took it especially hard. He had set out from Knife River, lone in a two-man skiff, trolling for lake trout spawning in the river current's riff. The blow pushed Ole to the east, waves lapped over the boards. He knew the scow'd not make it to the far Wisconsin shores. So somewhere east of Knife Island, with herring skiff sunk low, Ole Simonson decided he might as well let go. Yet 15 minutes earlier, and 4+ miles away, that keen-eyed cat aboard that tug detected an oar's spray. A sign so small, so far away to evade human eyes, but cat eyes stared until the mate through the captain's glass spied. The Edna G swung starboard and set course for that cat speck. Pulled Ole from the whitecaps, which were near up to his neck. That tugboat brought the fisherman without his fishboat home, but Ole could not stay on land, back to the lake he'd roam, so that where'er the fishman went, he'd sing of Bowser's name, and such was the beginning of that tugboat watchcat's fame. Bowser, that watchcat, witnessed from that tugboat Edna G. shipwrecks, sinkings, and strandings more than any cat should see. For instance, in November's gale of 19 and 05, that cat saw sights while storm-racked nights ate ships and men alive. That fearsome blow, Lake's students know, or should have heard before, spit ships and sailors whole and broke all round Superior shore. At Duluth's gate the Metapha gave all the storm her name, when that iron-burdened steamer met fate and made her fame. The Metapha, a steel trussed stack, slammed on the entry pier. She broke in half and settled down so far and yet so near. 300 yards was all the space between the boat and beach, yet wind and waves, as the storm raved, kept her from human reach. All Duluth saw the Metapha bleed iron to the lake, and all the town feared that her crew would die without mistake. The lake coughed up a skeleton and washed him to the shore, where hundreds gathered near the surf, nay, thousands, maybe more. The bones of Thomas Wilson's mate, whispered the storm-struck horde, 2 years before that pig boat sank by a sister ship gored. A ghost come early up to haunt Metapha and her crew. That report passed across the lips of more than just a few. Townspeople kept bonfires alit to give hope to that ship, until at dawn brave lifesavers could make the fearful trip. There was doom on the famous wreck. 9 men died in the night, but 15 more came off alive to praise God and his might. That dog-eared tug watch cat did not watch the Metapha break. The foul storm even kept that tug from entering the lake. But cat and crew would get to see the steamer's sorry state when they helped float the Metapha to again challenge fate. The Edna G. lent sailor's aid in the storm's aftermath to half a dozen ships and crews, victims of nature's wrath. The first, the steamer Lafayette, wore steel truss markings too, and struck not far from Agate Bay, gainst a bluff, broke in two. When driven hard upon the shore, the crew was trapped aboard, for only one dared scale the cliff as seas and skies still roared. That brave soul walked to summon help. The tug heeded his call, to find Lafayette's bow and stern pinned to a sheer rock wall. Bowser spotted for that tug's mate spots where the waves would lull, to let that valiant little tug slide side the steamer's hull. A volunteer jumped tug to ship. With lines, sailors slid down the tugboat's cabin, filled with life of men who thought they'd drown. but that cat could not understand Lafayette's second mate, a boastful man, a braggart, yes, who, on that fateful date, huddled beneath his bunk was found when rescuers looked there. Tears streamed his face, his lips quivered, foul odor stung the air. Although to all was obvious what happened to that one, he denied fear, then cursed their names and swore what he had done was search for God and found him there by the tempest sea tossed. But what Bowser could never ken, he'd not known God was lost. The God who tore apart great lakes and made them calm and blue was both person and deity about whom Bowser knew. For while that silent watch cat on that tugboat Edna G was never heard to utter prayer nor seen on bended knee, yet Bowser came to faith in God and in his holy Son by methods mundane and sublime, feline to Christ was won. That cat who'd bowed his dog-eared head at temple in Duluth and knew Buddhists and Muslims too, sought after godly truth, was nonetheless a Christian cat, if cats are so inclined, like humans by sect or chance in churches are aligned, for while familiarity breeds many an untoward thing, it can as well spawn hope and joy to which a soul can cling. Such was the case in Bowser's case. Intimacy bred faith, as that cat grew familiar with each port town worship place. Sanctuaries and services, each holy music note, from Catholic to Adventist, or time all became rote. Bowser absorbed God's holy word, his son's eternal news, and through it all he studied folks who came to fill the pews. What brought each there with what each left were God's secrets alone, but Bowser always marveled when faces with Christ's love shone. He marveled, too, at those men who proselytized for the fates, the men who filled the pulpits and counted collection plates. Yes, pastors, priests, and reverends all knew that cat by name, so even from each house of God spread words of Bowser's fame. Now that insightful tug watch cat of this, make no mistake, knew not just church and pipe organ music for God could make, for from that tugboat Edna G, on deck or on bronze bird, Bowser saw God's signature writ, his many voices heard. God is the fury and anger of grayest, blackest storms. His beauty is tranquility of sunrise on still morns.
You've been listening to Episode 1 of The Bowser Chronicles by Two Harbors native Glenn Sandvik. This is the first of 5 episodes, so be sure to tune in again tomorrow for Episode 2. If you miss an episode this week, all the episodes are posted on our website, ktwh.org. You can find Literally from the North Shore under the Programs drop-down menu at the top of the page.